Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning. You're listening to CFRA Radio. The show is Good News in the Morning. It's put on by Good News Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. And you, of course, cannot remember that information other than it's CFRA. Listen, all you do is you Google Good News Christian Ministries and you can find out all about us and listen to other broadcasts, etc. My name is George Sinclair. I am the pastor of Church of the Messiah here in Ottawa, and it is my great honor and blessing and joy that I get to open the Bible with you this morning and talk about Jesus. But listen, before we get into all of that, just two things. If you could support us, that would be great. And what the main thing is, if you could pray for us, pray for me and for the other speakers in the ministry as a whole, that would be spectacular. And the other thing is, if God has blessed you with some financial resources, please consider making a donation to help keep this show on the air. The speakers, everybody does it for free just because we love Jesus and want to help the city and help you. So listen, we're going to get into the show and we're going to begin by listening to Rich Mullins sing 5210.
Hey!
Hello again. You're still listening to CFRA Radio, and the show is still Good News in the Morning, put on by Good News Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. And you can Google to find more information about it. And I'm George Sinclair, pastor of Church of the Messiah here in Ottawa. Listen, here's the question. Can Christians know God's will? Can Christians get direction and guidance about big decisions and even small decisions? That's a question which Christians have struggled over and Christians would like some practical advice over. And we're going to talk about it today, and we're going to talk about it by looking at different proverbs in the book of Proverbs. So I'm going to be reading. I'm mainly reading from the ESV and English Standard Version. I might be going through some of the Proverbs a little bit quickly, but if you want to find later the Proverbs, you can go to the webpage and all the talk will be on there. Either you can listen to it again, or you can go and you can see the different scriptures that I'm referring to. So can we know God's will? Does God direct and guide people? Well, listen to Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Now, that's very good advice about, you know, moving forward into the future and how to live your life. The word hasty is in the original language, has a sort of a secondary meaning as well. It means a person who's pushed around by events. Those of us who are old enough to remember pinball machines, you can think of the pinball machine where the ball's coming down and the bumpers are banging it all over the place. And this proverb tells us that if we are letting ourselves being pushed around by events all the times, it means that we're not going to come to poverty. We need some type of plan, some type of direction, and diligence implies that as well, that there's some type of a plan of us stepping forward to help shape events. Another great proverb is Proverbs 15:22. It says, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." And, you know, here the image behind this is we've all met people who are what I call know-nothing and stubborn. They make up their mind. They don't seem to read or think or ask any advice. They just seem to always – they think about it themselves, or they pretend to think about it. They have an idea, and they don't seem to show any type of humility that they need to learn and move forward. And so this is just saying that, you know, one of the things about moving forward in life is you need to be open to having advisors, to seeking counsel. But, you know, the Bible's not naive about this. Here's another one. Here's Proverbs 12:5. "The thoughts of the righteous are just. The counsels of the wicked are deceitful." So, you know, these are proverbs, right? So part of the thing about proverbs is that you have to sort of know the time to use which one in which situation. And so the earlier proverbs said you need to seek advice. And then this one warns you that sometimes bad people give you advice. Just for an example, if you got inherited $100,000, and if you put an ad on Kijiji and said, "I have just inherited $100,000. I am looking for people to give me advice about how to invest it." Do you think only wise and good people would answer that? Or do you think you'd get a whole pile of crooks and charlatans? Well, you'd probably get some wise and helpful people, but you'd also get lots of crooks and charlatans. So, you know, so the Bible's weird, not weird. The Bible's very wise, and it knows what human beings are like. And so it says you have to be open to advice, but at the same time, you have to be careful to make sure that the advice you're getting isn't going to be evil advice that's going to hurt you. And now at this point in time, friends, at this point in time, those of you who are non-Christians who are listening to this, what you don't know about your Christian friends and neighbors is that at this point in time, a certain heaviness of heart and a certain heaviness of heart begins to afflict Christians. Because you might not know it, my non-Christian friends and listeners, but Christians often labor under a deep disappointment with God. They labor under a deep disappointment with God. And we cover that deep disappointment up with a type of, you know, smiley exterior. But, you know, inwardly we have a bit of a sense of disappointment, almost of cynicism, because you see, you heard that they heard the talk was going to be on knowing God's will and guidance. And the three things that I've quoted right now are basically things that you could see in the Citizen or the Globe and Mail or the Sun or the National Post. You could hear it on talk radio. Like, it's good advice. It's common advice. And Christians were hoping for something more. They were hoping for something a lot more substantial in terms of God working in their lives to provide some type of guidance and direction. And so at this point in time, Christians aren't – they might not always even be aware of the fact that they have a deep disappointment with God and with His Word, that His Word and that God Himself is not really doing – He's not coming through in the way that they hoped and expected. So let's look at that a little bit. We're still going to talk about guidance direction, but let's – We have to go to this and look. The Bible, in a sense, unveils, if we're willing to pay attention to our heart in the context of the living God, our disappointment with God and the fact that we were hoping for something more, that God would do and provide something more. So let's look at Proverbs 19:21. Proverbs 19:21. It says this: "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." Now, here's the interesting thing about this text in terms of what does it say about you and me? That the fact of the matter is, remember I said earlier on that the hasty person, that the proverb said the hasty person, their plans won't work. And part of the image of the hasty person is the image of a pinball machine. We're being pushed and shaped by different events. Well, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, inside many of us, we are an inner pinball machine. That we don't just have one type of thing that we want to do or one type of thing that we want to accomplish. That, you know, then in many men, on one hand, they want to be like a James Bond. On another hand, you know, for a Christian man, he might want to be a little bit like Billy Graham. And then, you know, the very next moment, he might want to be a sports star. And in the next moment in his imagination, he might want to be like St. Francis of Assisi. And in the next minute in his own mind, he might want to be, you know, like Donald Trump and be able to tell people off and be very successful. And in the very, very next minute, he might want to be like, you know, like John Calvin or something like that and just be really, really knowledgeable about the Bible. And the fact of the matter is in our own identity and even the things that are driving what we want and what we don't want, that many of us are like an inner – there's all sorts of different voices and internal plans going on in our inner life. And if that's the case – how, if you think about it for a second, if that's what's actually going on in your life and mine, it's going to be a far more complicated thing for God to give you direction. I mean, you know, I can look back in my past and some of the things I prayed for and I was disappointed that God didn't give me, but I'm really glad in hindsight He didn't give me those things, you know? And the fact is that we have all sorts of different desires and longings and hopes and dreams and plans, and many of them are contradictory. And yet, we don't think that there might be a problem within us. We are disappointed with God. Like, why is that? Let's look at Proverbs 16:2. Proverbs 16:2. "All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit." Like, isn't that true? Don't we often think that we're fairly wise? Don't we often, when we're even listening, you know, if we think that we have a leading or guiding from God, aren't we sort of trying to measure it with our own wisdom? Even when we're looking in the Bible, don't we often sort of evaluate the Bible by our wisdom? Don't we often begin with a sort of a deep-seated sense that we are wise, that we you know, fundamentally are pure, and that our directions are good things? And isn't that like a deep-seated part? Not obviously for everything. There's obviously things that we feel ashamed of or that we're embarrassed of, but there's a deep-seated part of human beings that they're insightful, that they're wise, that many of us sort of think that if more people listened to us, if more people listened to me, things would go better in my family, in my work, and in my neighborhood, and in the government. If more people listened to me. So how does God give us direction if that's what we think about ourselves and if we're blind to it? Listen to Proverbs 3:7-8. "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." Isn't that sort of go right very well with Proverbs 16:2? Don't we tend to think that we are wise? Don't we tend to think that we're wiser than our friends, wiser than our husband or wife or kids? Don't we tend to think that we're wiser than our boss and the people who are around us? And if we in fact think that we tend to be wiser than those around us, isn't it easy for us to think that we're really wiser than God? And those of us who are well taught Christians, we know, no, we can't say that. But isn't there like a flow in our bones, a flow in our mind that tends to easily drift into thinking about our own wisdom? That can easily start to apply it to God. And once again, how can God give direction to one who thinks that wise in their own eyes? Let's look at Proverbs 27:1. Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Now, here's the thing. You know, when I'm with my church council and, soon we'll be starting to work on our budget for next year. And one of the things that I remind the council, I try to remind myself, and we try to work it into our prayers, is that on one hand, we have to be making a budget for 2016. On the other hand, none of us know what's going to happen in 2016. In fact, the fact of the matter is that nobody knows what's going to happen 3 seconds from now. Nobody knows what's going to happen in a year, 5 years, 10 years, that human beings are creatures. And as creatures, we do not know the future. We cannot know the future. And you know what? You read the newspaper and you listen to the radio and the TV, people all talk about progressive values, progressive talks as if, you know, it implies that we know the direction things are going and what's, you know, pointed towards the future. But, you know, the fact is nobody knows the future. The World Bank doesn't know the future. The International Monetary Fund doesn't know the future. People who talk about climate change don't know the future. That no human being knows the future. No human being knows the future. Now, you know, as a Christian, I know certain things, that Jesus is going to come again, and I can know God's final word about me, and maybe I'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. But you know, at a very, very fundamental level, no human being knows the future. Now, you know, why is it that many of you say, George, to say that no human being knows the future, we feel it as a letdown, we feel a bit depressed. But here's another question for yourself. Why is it that we feel depressed? Why is it that we feel depressed or sad when we are reminded that we're human? Like, why is that? Why is it that we feel let down when we're reminded that we're human? And if that's the case, once again, how is it that God can actually guide and direct us? And why is it that, is there something in us that's the problem, that our disappointment with God has more to say with us and actually doesn't have very much to say about God at all? I mean, that's the question. One more thing, and then we're going to sort of get into try to summarize these points and then move forward into the, you know, some other type of stuff. Proverbs 20:24. A man's steps are from the Lord. How then can he understand his way? A man's steps are from the Lord. How then can a man understand his way? So at the heart of this particular proverb is this idea that there is a God who is the creator of all things and we are creatures. And, you know, if that's the case, that means that part of the way that we need to understand the meaning of our life is going to be found outside of ourselves and not within ourselves. Like, for instance, if we're made in the image of God, then unless we have some knowledge of God, we won't understand fundamental aspects of who we are. And unless we know that we are fallen human beings, which means that not that the image of God has been removed from us, but that the image of God within every human being is slightly twisted and slightly bent and is no longer a perfect image of God. And if we don't sort of understand who God is, then we can't even understand our bentness and twistedness, and we can't understand what entirely fully it looks like to be not twisted and not bent. And if you think about it for a second, like none of us, most of us don't have memories of the first 5 years of our life, and most of us don't have memories of what went on in our womb, and most of us have parts of our past that we don't remember, and none of us remember all of the dreams that we have at night. And the fact of the matter is that even though we live with ourselves all the time, there's a fundamental mystery that we have about ourselves, that in a sense, every single human being is a part amnesiac. And as an amnesiac and who doesn't know everything there is to know about themselves and doesn't know the God in whose image that they are made know him perfectly, then in some ways we are like Jason Bourne in the Bourne movies, an amnesiac who can't understand who he is and how he should even be moving forward because there is a fundamental lack of understanding in and of ourselves. And yet we think we are wise, and yet we think we are pure, and yet we are depressed when we are told that we don't know the future and can't know the future and can't possibly know the future. And then we are disappointed with God. And we wish that he would give us guidance and direction. So here's to summarize all this up. It's a long time to get us to a simple point. I deceive myself and want binoculars, techniques, control, guarantees, and a two-button life for my life. I deceive myself and want binoculars, techniques, control, guarantees, and a two-button life for my life. You see, what are we looking for when I say we're going to learn how to know God's will? We're hoping that God's going to give us binoculars so that we know the future. We hope that he's giving us techniques that if we follow these steps, then we're always going to know God's answer and God's direction. And ultimately, when we want to know God's answer and what God's direction, what we're really looking for is control. We want to be able to control the future. And we want God to give us guarantees that if I follow this verse, this verse, this verse, this verse, therefore this is going to happen and I have control and he guarantees me. And we also want a two-button life for my life. And it's sort of an image from the iRobot, that old movie with Will Smith. And in other words, what we want is that we want basically most of the time to be driving the car ourselves and we want control of our own lives. But we want that if there's some type of trouble, we can press a button in our life, so to speak. And all of a sudden, God is like a puppeteer and everything around us becomes marionettes, like puppets. And God all of a sudden magically attaches strings, and he attaches strings to the bank, and he attaches strings to our creditors, and he attaches strings to our wives and to our kids, and all of a sudden, he takes control and he fixes everything. And then I can press a button in my life and I go back to being in control of my own life. And that's what I want. And God doesn't give us any of those things. Here's the best verse in the Bible about guidance, and it has to be understood in light of the gospel, okay? And it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's a verse that you should memorize. It's a verse that you should meditate upon every day. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Know him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Know him in all your ways, and he will make your paths straight. So what is it? So how do I have to understand this in light of the gospel? If you go back and read John 1 and John 17 later on, we see in John 1 that Jesus is revealed as the one who is going to make God perfectly known. He is, in a sense, the exegesis of God. And if we go and you read John 17, you can read all of John's gospel as well, you see that in John 17, Jesus prays just before he is going to be captured and crucified, that Jesus' death upon the cross is going to be the most perfect revelation of God, the most perfect way to know him. And not only is it a revelation of God, but it is a power of God for salvation for all who believe and trust in him. And it's not only a power of God whereby God makes us right with himself when we put our faith and trust in Jesus and his death and resurrection, but it's that he makes us right with himself by bringing us into a new covenant, a new relationship with him. And so the scripture here tells us to trust in the Lord, trust in Jesus and his death upon the cross and his resurrection with all my heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, so often formed by our culture and world. Know him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. You see, what the Bible does is the Bible gives us a mirror. That's what the Bible is. It gives us a way to understand who we are. The living God lovingly offers to provide a mirror, the Bible, the cross, and the new covenant to fallen rebels like you and me. You see, he offers to be with us. He offers to make us right with himself. He offers to be with us. And in light of being with us, then we can read his word. We can start to understand how our image is bent. We can understand his ways. We can understand that whenever we're making these decisions, we pray to him and he might give us guidance, direction without guarantees about success in a worldly sense or anything like that, but that he is with us and that he will be with us to the end and into eternity. That we can know Jesus and be guided by him. Let's pray. Father, help us to be disciples of Jesus who are gripped by the gospel, who live for your glory. Friends, give your life to Jesus. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. We're going to close by listening to George Beverly Shea sing, "I'd Rather Have Jesus."
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear God. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. Oh, I'd rather be true to his holy name.
He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. Oh, I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway.
Oh, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this old world affords today.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.